This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. It's Europa Vision time. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com. Joining me to discuss the fallout of the Olympiakos first leg. How would you describe it in a word, Mr. Chris Bird?
Shit.
Shambles? Oh, I don't know. Well, there was some shambolic decisions. We'll get into
that. Anticlimax.
In Europa Vision with Armin in the build-up for this game, I described it as I didn't think it was going to be one of those. Oh yeah, we'll take a couple of goals lead to Olympiakos and just get the result finished over there. Once you knew how the draw was made out, that whoever we were going to play in the semi, Olympiakos or Fenerbahce, this would be the wild card game. Lille was more of like, yeah, if we can get the lead, take it over there. And, you know, it's like a traditional way of navigating a two-legger. I described this one, this would be the Wild West. And it wouldn't really matter if we didn't win at Villa Park. This game would be a two-legged Wild West affair. And I actually said on the show, not necessarily, if we didn't win it, it was far from over. That said, I also said, with Martinez out, Olympiakos would be licking their lips, and I think they would go for it in this game. More so than, I didn't think they were just going to park the bus and hang on, i.e. it was going to be a bit of a to-and-throw affair. What I didn't bank on was Emery doing his traditional Europa Conference League selection, leaving Torres on the bench. This is not the first time we've kind of slumped and gone, oh, what's he doing there? Because this is a semi-final. You put your best team out, and you're in a situation where, hang on a minute, you've got your second string goalkeeper in who doesn't exactly instill confidence in your ranks. So what's the last thing you want to do is upset the regular apple cart who plays in front of him, like i.e. break up a centre-back pairing that's actually played the last couple of games or so, because it just adds chaos, doesn't it?
It adds doubt. And at the moment, yeah. When you've put in a performance as we did against Chelsea at the weekend, there was a lot of the same themes, if you want to call it that, that we brought from that second half against Chelsea. It was quite chaotic and lacking control, and all the things that have brought Villa to this point that have obviously been good, and we are deservedly where we are in the league for a reason. But we stopped doing those things.
Well, McGinn said after the game it was all about, they were talking about controlling the game. They knew how Olympiakos would play. But in terms of execution, they were never in control of this game at any moment. And
no.
As I said, I thought it would be a gunfight, and that's what it turned into. So I obviously know something about football.
I did an Olympiakos podcast a couple of nights before the game, and
yeah, you shouldn't have gone for that prediction.
Yeah, and
I was like, oh, shit.
It was interesting because they were sort of viewing it as maybe the Villa fans hoped, in terms of if they get out of it with a 1-0 defeat, it's a great result for them in hindsight. When we're in 4-2 down, we've got a penalty, thinking, right, get it back and at least stay in the tie here. ironically.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were going traditional European two-leg mentality. Yeah. You know, I was saying it was going to just be a gunfight, and that will get to the pivotal moment, and it was that penalty, because I would have taken 4-3 down because there was a lot of football still to be played.
Mm-hmm.
Two goals, it's not over, but fucking hell.
Yeah.
It's, they call it Red Hell, their home ground.
They do, yeah, Piraeus is a difficult place to go. They are a team who've been flaky, but I think that was earlier in the season. They look like a different beast at the moment, and they are.
Yeah, they've been flaky in Europe, actually, at home the last couple of seasons, and that is one of the pros in the overall picture. If you're a Villa fan following Villa in Europe and you want to access various things back home, or even a villain in the UK who wants to access those Saturday 3 o'clock games by potentially subscribing to other countries' packages with NordVPN, you can change your online IP address to appear in different countries so you can actually access other packages while also protecting your online security by changing your IP address. With a NordVPN account, you can actually have 6 devices on that account, so you can potentially spread it across your family. And this month, NordVPN is offering my Old Man Said listeners a bumper exclusive package. You get 4 months free, plus huge savings, and you get a 30-day money-back guarantee to try it as well. So go to nordvpn.com/moms, M-O-M-S, to check it out. To start from the beginning, I got there early. I mean, this is
we were both there early for this one. We don't normally do.
Minor miracle for me to get anywhere early, and build-up was very good. The build-up was very good, you kind of welled up a little bit when you saw it. The fans were spot on in terms of pre-match, all the smoke, pyro, etc. And you thought, this is a real sense of occasion. And then you had the four-sided tifo. It made me laugh when I was looking at the highlights this morning. And a freeze framed on a section where clearly states which side to show your tifo card. And there's at least a third of the crowd in shot that have got it the wrong way around. But hey-ho, you live and learn.
It's small margins in these matches, David.
It is, isn't it? I think that cost us. Not having a 100% clean claret and blue tifo, seriously.
But it did look good, and the build-up to the game was great.
It set up the Villa in the whole 10 to anybody who hasn't seen it.
And it looked great, and I think the fans kind of played their part, as did theirs, obviously, for 90 minutes. But it made me think.
And the fans stayed with it, actually. Even 4-2, the fans stayed in it. And that's encouraging, because that's what it should be in a semi-final, especially over two legs when it's not done and dusted.
Yeah, it made me think. It showed what Villa Park can be for these bigger games.
Yeah.
But also, it made me think that for a team that's built around, control and calmness, and all the build-up was about energy and up, and you almost needed a calm head to just go, actually, we don't need to play the occasion here. We need to do what we do well, and we didn't. And it was almost like there was a little bit of that against Chelsea, where I think because we're at that business end and we're right at the, with the way results have gone, etc., it's so close now to achieving both objectives. But it's like you don't want to fall at the final hurdle now. You've got the chance. You've done the hard lifting, or the hard yards rather. Heavy lifting, whichever phrase you want to use. But now you've got to get it over the line. And I think maybe the players were looking around and going, wow, this is a big one. And maybe they're just feeling the pressure a little bit.
No, well, I still think it stems from that selection, because you, and there was evidence straight away, two big evidence moments, Exhibit A and Exhibit B, which I will show Judge Bud very soon. There was a couple of range finders early doors.
Yeah, Rodgers had a good effort.
They had a shot that Olsen tips over, good save from Olsen. And then Rodgers kind of curled one, good save from their keeper as well. So props him. But that showed you how the night was going to be unfold. It was going to be, it wasn't going to be a cagey affair. And then Villa score. Bailey's header, it's chalked off. I mean, it's at the other end of the ground from where we are, so we don't get a clear eyeline of what actually has happened, and it's Mr. Clement Longley shirt pulling unnecessarily, I think.
Pretty much, yeah. And
blatantly as well.
And, you know, these sorts of teams, and they did it all night, if there's an ounce of contact, they're going to go down. And it's frustrating for the fans, and it's infuriating for the players, but you've got to be more streetwise when you play in Europe with that sort of stuff. You need to be wiser.
Longley is a fucking European competition player. He's at, you know, different clubs. But this is the Torres Longley decision. This is on Emery 100%. And, you know, still, if you've got Olsen in goal, you've got to at least have some semblance of calm by playing, you know, the centre back, because Longley hasn't actually been in the team for the last few weeks. So he's coming out of the cold as well. And that showed on their first goal. Longley steps up to make the challenge. He gets done. El Khabib gets put through, and Cash is playing him onside. He's not in line with his other back four members. And, you know, we know
which is very similar to the Chelsea game, by the way. And he got away with it, didn't he, in the Chelsea game?
It's a trait of Cash. This is not the first time he's kept players onside. A lot of Villa fans know this. This is not a one-off. And El Khabib, I think his movement's excellent, and his finishing.
Clinical.
Gets ruled off. And it's one of those that we haven't really seen much of, where it actually gets reversed. The ball hits the back of the net, gets reversed. Before that decision comes in, I'm thinking, why is Olsen dived out the way of it? I mean, Dan Rogers, who does appear on the show from time to time, an OG of the show, sent a message saying that they need to put a bell in the ball for Olsen.
Harsh.
But true. I think he goes down too quick because we're behind it. He literally dives out the way of the ball, hits the net. We think it gets flagged off. People are celebrating that because you think you've avoided a bullet there, and then something we haven't seen, I don't think, at Villa Park this season. It gets reversed. It's given as a goal, and we're in the shit a little bit.
We are. And then, of course, one becomes two.
And it's similar. I mean, they had zest in the middle of the park, didn't they? And they're running at us, and we don't like that. Space in the middle of the park.
I'd said on the Olympiacos pod a couple of days before that it's sort of high risk, high reward. If you go after Villa's backline and you press it hard and you really go after McGinn and Louise, you can get joy, and they did in that first half, and really through the game, frankly, in moments. And I think they thought, let's try and hit Villa early. We'll hit them hard and just sort of go at them full throttle with a load of energy. And they did, and it worked. And sort of, you know, then very quickly you find yourself 2-0 down because you've just played yourself into trouble a couple of times.
Yeah, because if you've got the ball and you're running at the Villa back four and the deeper midfield of, like, say, from the halfway line, you know, running at them, there's always space there. And, you know, a little flick here, a little flick there, which they were very good at. Luka Dean steps up to try to play offside, but lets his man go ultimately. And then El Khabib, great movement again, cool finish, plays it under Olsen, and 2-0. And you're thinking, whoa, we've got a mountain to climb already.
Yeah.
And we've got problems because Villa aren't at the races here.
And they were sharper, way more streetwise. And obviously, you know, this is a team who regularly plays Champions League football and is pretty well versed in playing in Europe, etc. And they probably thought, wow, this is going better than even we expected.
Yeah, I think it was. I think they were. There's a certain amount of respect they would have for a Premier League team. I mean, you know, I think the guys on that podcast that you were on were saying this is probably our hardest game for like the last two or three seasons.
Yep.
And that includes the West Ham, who actually won this tournament the season before they played, because they played in the Europa League this season. Next up is a Bailey penalty shout. I mean, I've only looked at it once since. I mean, had no clear eyesight on it actually at the ground. But does he run into him? I mean, there's obviously contact there. So you've seen them given.
Yeah. So I watched it when I got home, the fallout from that one. And I think the ref viewed it that it was one movement. So Bailey shifts the ball the first time. The defender gets a little foot on it, and then Bailey goes down, is how the ref views it. The pundit said the practicality of actually when you see the direction of the ball is Bailey moves or shifts the ball past the defender. The defender gets a toe to it, but the ball actually goes into Bailey's path. He's actually about to have a second bite at it, and then the defender goes through him. So it's almost become like, not a second phase, but you know what I mean? It's almost like it's not on the first contact. It's actually the second contact where Bailey's going, right, now I can have a shot. And it happens, you know, in a blink of an eye, but when you slow it down, it becomes quite clear, and the guy just goes straight through him. But because, of course, he gets a little nick on the ball first, the referee views it as well. He's got the ball,
yeah,
which is frustrating.
So what you're saying, penalty?
Pardon?
So you're saying penalty?
I think in the Premier League, that possibly gets given. But I think, to be honest, there were so many decisions during the game that in the Premier League, they get given. Case in point, I'll get it out of the way early. The referee was so lax on the time-wasting by the goalkeeper, whereas compare that with Martinez, wherever he goes, and they're on him from the first 10 minutes. If he takes a slow goal kick, the ref's like, right, come on, come on. That's your first warning. And you might get a couple of warnings, and the ref didn't get on top of it at all.
But at least he wasn't throwing cards around.
No, he wasn't. Luckily, of course, just before half time, we get the goal, and it's a brilliant move. It's sort of, you know, a bit of real quality from Villa. Great slide rule pass by Diaby, rolls it into Watkins, smashes it in the bottom corner. Great finish. Brilliant goal. Roof.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, Roof comes off, and everyone feels like, right, now we're in the game.
Regardless of perfect timing, essential timing, because if you're going in at half time there, you've got to give yourself some hope, because A, you've got zero control of this game. It's just spiraling away. And B, you've got to give yourself something to get yourself going again, really.
Which they did. And you get the crowd back into the game.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, you get to the halftime whistle and everyone's feeling positive. Unfortunately, attention turns, you know, away from the game, doesn't it? Where obviously there's...
Yeah, in the lower hole, L2.
Yeah, and it all gets, you know, football gets put into
watching,
context.
I'm actually, you know, I'm above watching the CPR being given, and they start to pull up a black sheet, and you're thinking, oh, and then there's this change with people delivering the CPR.
I mean, props to the medical staff. I think he's in hospital, he's okay. I saw on Twitter last night, actually, just before I fell asleep, it was a young lad, his father and his brother had tweeted that he's doing okay, and apparently the first on the scene was... A member of ambulance staff, a Villa fan, which is very lucky.
Yeah.
So I know, like, Twitter's doing its thing to try and find her, and, you know, massive props
wearing,
to her.
Wearing the mashup, the mashup kit. Retro shirt.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, massive
mashup
props to her.
Retro shirt saves the day.
Yeah, 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 well done to her, and I'm sure she'll get, you know, fair props from everyone at the club. And but then you saw the reaction from the emergency services, and all of a sudden you've seen these, like, you know, luminous jackets from all angles just descending on the air, and you think, like, it's an amazing response. But apparently there were other, you know, there was another incident in the Doug Ellis, and there was one in the North Stand as well. So I don't know what's happened in the game.
They were given they were pumping away for a good few minutes there.
Yeah, well, the second half was delayed, wasn't it, for a while?
Yeah.
And they obviously had to clear.
Because we were essentially over the top of it watching it.
Yeah.
And because we were it was taking so long, and then they stopped, and then they pulled up the black sheet, you thought, oh no, this does not look good at all. But when the stretcher came in, you were thinking, well, they're not going to walk them out as they did if it's a fatality, put it that way. So
no.
Good news.
No, and then obviously you see relatives, you know, running down the tunnel. Yeah, not good.
So Godspeed to them, and all the best
in a good recovery.
In their recovery. So... Focus then obviously switched back, and we get the goal, and God knows how that went in.
I mean,
the
that's
keeper
where
got sold a kipper there.
It was one of the things that you probably take into the second leg that gives you hope that the goalie hasn't had a huge amount to do in the game, but when you're conceding goals like that on your near post, and this isn't like a kind of, you know, like I remember Watkins scored a near post one against West Ham, wasn't it, when it was an incredible finish. This was a kind of smash it, a bit of a hit and hope really from Diaby, and it's...
Yeah, I think because he hits it early,
yeah, catches him off
before
guard.
The keeper really sets himself, that it caught him by surprise.
Yeah. And then the ground erupts, you think, right, you've kind of got out of jail here, and this is where, coming away from the ground afterwards, and when we spoke before, it's kind of, this is where a quote-unquote, like a big boy team really switches on. You've got out of jail, and now you put them to the sword, and...
Yeah, because I turned around to you at 2-2, it was the look, mutual look of, we've got out of this, as in, you know, we could have been in real shit here, and I gave you the thumbs up.
And you're almost thinking, if this is the worst it gets, this isn't a disaster now.
Yeah.
And then, fuck me, did we drop the...
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
At that point, you know, I don't mind if it's a draw, no problem, because we've had a big, big scare here. Yeah. As I said, it was going to be a bit of a Wild West thing. And then I don't think this is a penalty. Ball comes in. I mean, they get a penalty.
can I just rewind a little bit? Because actually, the build up to the corner from Villa is absolutely shambolic in terms of when you actually look at how that corner develops. Villa just dicking around. See, Longley's in a good position to clear the ball. He tries to sort of see the ball out of play. It doesn't go out. He ends up giving away a really needless corner. And then, of course, it's another set piece, and it's been Villa's downfall all season.
But, you know, they header it, but it heads it onto Luiz's elbow. And Luiz's elbow, I don't think, is in an unnatural position.
But his arm's up, isn't it? The ref will view it as, I think.
Yeah, but he's jumping up for a header. It's one of those where you can't jump up without putting your arms up to get up, and it hits him on the elbow.
Yeah, we know that. But, you know, when the ref's being a job's worth, and he was all game, I think...
If the ref doesn't give that, you're like, as an opposition, it's like, I mean, if say that the roles are reversed, I'm like, yeah, fair enough on that. I'm not feeling injustice in any sense of the word.
And it's so close, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I'm ready to stick the douchebag badge on... Douglas Luiz at any opportunity. I'd stick it on his forehead for that, because you're thinking you've missed a penalty, you've given away a penalty. This is not a great night for him. But I'm looking at that in retrospect and I'm thinking, that's a harsh one. I'm withdrawing the douchebag badge. So I think we get done there.
Yeah. Yep.
And I never wear claret and blue goggles. I'm thinking that's harsh. It's proximity, as you say. I'm thinking it's natural arm movement to jump up. You don't jump up with your arms by your side. So he's harsh, and it's hit his elbow as well. I thought handball was all about hands, but...
No, they say it's like the shirt line, isn't it? If it's above your elbow, you might get away with it, but...
Yeah, soon it'll be waist-high will be handball.
And Al-Khabi gets his hat-trick with a very cool penalty.
He's good.
Good player.
Completes his hat-trick, and we're in trouble again.
We really were, and I think as soon as you come back in the way Villa did, and then it goes to 3-2, I think that the bubble pops a little bit in the ground, and unless you get another goal back really quickly, I think you are in trouble. And of course, Villa were, you know, it got worse, and I think Villa's luck.
It's like you were drowning, but you managed to kind of swim back up to the top. And you get a breath, and then there's like a swell that drags you back under again straight away.
Yeah, and the
swell was a big one. And speculative shot hits Konsa, deflects in. I've looked at this a few times. I'm thinking Olsen should save this still, because it deflects to the middle of the goal. The goalkeepers practice, you know, they've got those nets and things where they shoot the ball in the path of these things that redirects the ball. Goalkeepers nowadays, they train relentlessly for deflections. It's one of the
I think it's one that Martinez probably pulls off a wonder save.
I think Martinez saves that. Olsen goes to the ball with like his fist clenched. You should have your hand out.
What are the
because you're trying
hand?
To stop the ball. Yeah, you have your hand out. You don't go with a fist, because that can deflect anyway, and it deflects off his fist into the net. That's savable. That's not, people normally, it deflects and people go, oh, it deflected. It wasn't the goalkeeper's fault. I think that's in the area of potential good save there. Well, great save.
And it's, you know, for these ones, it's marginals, isn't it? But it's when you're all these marginal things are going against you, they add up, and this, you know, the result in the end is what it is because of it. And I think I said after the game that Villa had really ridden their luck, haven't they, against Chelsea at the weekend? You know, we got away with one off the post, two goals disallowed, and a very, very poor second half performance. But we really got away with it and got quite lucky. We didn't get lucky in this one, but you're going to have to make your own luck at some point. And Villa didn't, because they simply weren't playing very well. And when Olympiacos put in the performance they did, certainly in the forward line and their press, we'll get onto their back line in terms of a positive shortly, I'm sure. But when they were brave and they were sort of enterprising, they got the rewards for that.
But hang on a minute, it was slipping away, but then we get a penalty, and it's literally is three penalties in one. There's two handballs and then a foul on Bailey all in one sequence.
It's kind of pick your foul, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're thinking at that stage, oh, fucking hell, this game was... this was, you know, as I was, that analogy of drowning, we looked like we were drowning big time, and then suddenly there's a fucking life raft comes... I'm continuing with this drowning analogy.
We're using the sea analogy.
And, you know, they drop down a float, and all you've got to do is get your hand on that, and then, you're still alive in this tie. I mean, we still are, but it's fuckload easier knowing that you just have to go and win there to go to penalties as opposed to starting to count goals. Definite penalty. And then there's a couple of things here. I'm not blaming him on this necessarily. They had two players that were pissing around on the edge of the box, kept encroaching. The referee, Jobsworth, went there, spent about a minute or two. McGinn initially picks up the ball, doing the whole holding the ball, pretending he's taking the penalty routine just in case they're going to be winding up the taker, which, you know, they're obviously doing. They walk past Louise so many times. But he hands the ball to Louise maybe a little bit too early. I would have kept that until the last minute, because normally that the whole trick is at the last minute. You hand it to somebody else, don't you?
Yep.
But he literally held on to it as if he was doing the routine of taking the pressure away from the taker. But because they were fucking around on the edge of the 18 encroaching and the referee was pulling them back, suddenly Louise was standing on the spot there with the whole occasion on his shoulders. And this wasn't like a few seconds, was it? He was there, standing there for a while as this ref tried to piss around pedantically. And then finally, I mean, the ref, what's he going to do? You should just tell him straight away, stay out of the fucking box.
But he books them both, doesn't he?
Or you're booked, yeah.
He booked them both, and then it carries on, and he doesn't get on top of it. Yeah, Diaby and one of their lads got a book. I can't remember who it was. They got bookings. But then they carried on. They're like, well, fuck it, we're 4-2. We can shit-house this one.
Fortunas, I think, got booked with Diaby. And then that's when you thought he'd had too long to himself there, standing on the spot. And anybody who knows how Luiz takes a penalty, he does that little shuffle, he runs up, and then he'll always stop.
He waits for the goal.
And that's normally the moment where the keeper commits. The keeper, to his credit, who, he did all right against Fenerbahce, doesn't go. He isn't fooled. So then that's when the doubt hits Luiz, shit, I've got to go for it now. And to be honest, I was ready to throw, I was going to pin the douchebag badge on his forehead. Because it looked from where I was standing that he blazed it wide.
He clips the post.
And I was like, how the fuck can you miss for that much? Because I didn't hear the post.
Especially when because he places penalties, doesn't he? He doesn't smash them.
But when I saw it back on the replay and it hits the post, I thought, okay, it's...
That said, I think if it's on target, the goalie gets it.
I don't know. If it clips the inside of the post, it's in. It just hits the outside. I think the keeper is beaten. But, from what I was in my head going home, I thought he blazed it wide, and I thought, hey, you got to hit the target. Still, I mean, he didn't hit the target, all ends up. But that was a big, big opportunity, not in terms of, getting anything from this in terms of a draw or winning it by any stretch of the imagination, but just for the second leg. Villa have been, since Boxing Day, much better away from home. The home form's fizzled. Away form is third or fourth best, the last time I checked, in the league. Olympiacos have been a little bit flaky in the last couple of seasons in Europe at home. Normally very good at home. So one goal down, all you literally have to do is win the tie. And then the very least, you go into penalties. Now, if you win by two goals, you go into penalties. So we shall see. But at that moment, it was like, this is a bad night for Villa.
Very, very deflating. And then, I mean, luckily I sort of woke up feeling slightly
better. Well done. That was very lucky that you woke up.
It was very lucky. But it was just one of the, I think McGinn said it was one of those nights where anything that could go wrong did go wrong. And those have been few and far between, but Villa weren't good against Chelsea, got lucky. Villa weren't good against Olympiacos. They've got a big game now against Brighton, and then they've got to go over to, for the second leg. But they're going to need to regroup it, and you're going to need to get some players back, because you saw the gap that Tiedemann's left, the gap that Torres leaves, the gap that Martinez, where the massive...
But Torres was fit. Torres could have played. He should have played. I don't think we go to Olympiacos 2 goals down if Torres was playing.
No, because I think the way they approach the game, Torres in that kind of game is essentially, he's the guy who sets the tone. Martinez and Torres set the tone of how Villa are going to play, and they give you your platform. If neither of them are there, you don't have the platform to build from, especially when you don't have, you know, you haven't had Kamara in there to protect the back four either. So it's kind of like, there's a bit of hope.
You haven't got Tielemans there to also set tone, you know, further
no
up.
Control.
So you're kind of relying on Luis. And
he had a bad
because
night.
Because of Olympiacos' midfield, they get at it.
Yeah.
They're aggressive. They press. Yeah. And that's a recipe for disaster. And we've had problems against anybody like Newcastle, Chelsea, Spurs, who get at your backline. And if you haven't got your OGs in there,
yeah,
i.e. Martinez and Torres, I mean, all these stats that come out, you know, about minutes on the ball and wins when they're playing, it's all, the basis is Martinez and Torres is always the starting point of any conversation of how Villa control games.
Because they dictate the tempo.
So, one out, you know, Martinez out, okay, he's suspended. But to actually make the selection of not playing Torres, that was baffling in a semi-final. And as we said, you know, early doors, it was a long lay mistake and, well, two long lay mistakes that ended up, instead of Villa being 1-0 up, Villa were 1-0 down.
And I would have actually said that off his previous performance against Arsenal, I know he wasn't great when he came on against Chelsea, but actually Carlos hadn't done a lot wrong to not playing that one either. And it was just a strange...
Yeah.
Yes, I understand, you know, Emery comes out and sort of says, you know, we've got a lot of games, da, 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 we need to rotate. But it's almost like, well, if Torres isn't fit, don't have him in the squad.
Torres has started 25 league games, so it's ugly. He's knackered.
I think with his injury, he's just not. I think he knows they're kind of patched together at the moment, the team, but he was kind of, we'll have him on the bench in case of emergency, which it was an emergency. That made me think, you know, when you're playing the way you're playing and you've got five subs, you can bring him on at half time or after, you know, with sort of half an hour to go.
Yeah, well, I would have started him. And if he's, you know, if he has got a problem at half time, then, or, you know, then you can sub him out.
Knowing that actually our defensive depth has been fairly good, even with the rest of the side depleted and the forward line picks itself right now, there's no depth.
But no
there.
Doubt he'll be starting against Brighton. And to me, there's only a few games left, and this semi-final is as important as they get. I mean, everything else, this is the only chance we've got of winning. This might be the only chance a lot of people in their lifetime now have to see Villa win something, because I don't remember any tournament where we've started out as the favourites.
No.
And we're getting the Champions League, touch wood, but we'll be there to take part, essentially.
And it's sort of a plucky adventure, isn't it? A bit like what Newcastle had this year, and you might get some moments and you could get through, but you're not going into that expecting to, whereas this was a realistic chance to,
yeah,
you know.
It's not over yet.
It's not, by a long way.
It's not over until the fat Olympiacos owner sings.
Because, I mean, they were celebrating after the game like it was over. But
well, yeah, I would if I was them, if we'd
a big result
if you'd
for
gone
them.
Away and got a 2-goal lead, so yeah. 100%. But they know more than anybody that to get beat at home, the tie is not over. I mean, they got beat 4-1 and managed
to
blaze it.
No, and I think in terms of, you know, you're looking for, you know, Emery has previous doing this before, hasn't he? Did it with Sevilla against Batiste. They were 2-0 down in a semi-final, got through. And I think I look at the Olympiacos back line and I think if Villa can get some control, we've gone away and we've caused teams problems before. We can score goals. We will score, I think, over there. It's whether or not we concede and whether they feel that if we score first, it's game over. I would actually at this point probably say it's first goal wins. I think if Villa get a foothold in the game.
Let me preface what you're saying by saying we will need Martinez and Tielemans back fit for that game.
And Torres.
Yeah. No rest in Torres.
Nope. And maybe there's a bit of a hope that, well, if results go your way this weekend against Brighton, and if, you know, Spurs drop points, you've achieved your objective, and then you can just throw the kitchen sink at a one-off game. But you've done a lot of the damage, but we can go there and win it.
We are 7 points ahead of Spurs. They've got a game in hand. In terms of the Champions League place in finishing fourth, it seems that nobody else wants to finish fourth.
Everyone looks flaky, don't they, in the last few weeks?
That one's pretty much in the bag. So that's why the Torres thing, I want to know if was fit enough to play. I think he was. So that leads to me, like, are we just playing for the business? Like, well, we need to get in the Champions League, no stone unturned, let's play Longley. Was that a sentimental choice where they told him, right, you know, we'll play you in the the Conference League.
I think the league's the priority, and I understand that because ultimately it is.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a business decision rather than a footballing, sporting one.
Maybe even a sporting one. Maybe they think, well, we want to be in the Champions League. That is the thing.
That's the business decision. You're not going to win the fucking Champions League. That's what I'm saying.
No, I think the players are looking at it going, wow, we could be playing Champions League next year. There's a lot of those players who've never played in it. They've sort of ticked the box of, well, we've played in, you know, a few of them have played in Europa League. Or
that's good for them. But for Aston Villa, you want trophies, and this was a real opportunity. Yeah. I mean, it's not dead yet.
No.
It's not going to be a major miracle if they beat Olympiacos away 2-0, if you can beat Arsenal 2-0 away, for example. But I don't know. I'm not, in terms of when people are going, oh, well, you know, when they start to separate them and go, oh, what would you prefer, you know, Champions League or winning this? Qualifying in the Champions League is good for business. But in terms of winning something, this is memories. This is something far beyond taking part and making sure the spreadsheet looks good. That's all I'm saying on that. You want both, and there's no excuses that it should be one. And by the way, when you're 7 points clear and the other team has one game in hand and there's only a few games left,
you shouldn't be fucking it up from this point. If you fuck it up at this point,
it's not even, to me, I'm not concerned about it. I think it's as good as sorted out. If you fuck it up from here, then fucking hell.
That's what I mean.
But if you fuck that up and then you get knocked out the semi-finals, then, I mean, you've done really shat the bed right at the last hurdle. And anybody starts going, oh, well, fifth, you'd have taken that at the start of the season. Fuck off.
When you get into the position we're in now.
Yeah, you don't fucking bottle it.
No, or shouldn't.
So with that said, not a great night at Villa Park. Just finally, sorry, what did you think? As soon as Diaby and Bailey were subbed off and Erogmanum and Zaniola, I thought that's not exactly sending a sign that we're trying to get something out of this in the final furlong. I mean, okay, take one of them off if
they're leggy.
They're flagging for the leggy. But
it's like a 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. For the sake of like 5-10 minutes, they went off at 85th minute. It's like, come on. Also, like I would have, Duran was coming on, you know, you bring on Duran for Diaby, for example.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rodgers still has gas in the tank, I think. You're talking about Bailey, Diaby, Rodgers, players that can cause problems.
Yeah.
When you're taking it to a team.
Yeah, you're taking your weapons off. I mean, there was a little bit of, I'm not saying flying the white flag, but maybe one eye on Sunday at that point going, we think the game's gone here. And
you said, I don't think you have an eye on Sunday. It's like, if you're not all in a semi-final, then I've got problems with you.
Yeah. It's a strange one. And you know, you're two goals down, you need a goal, you bring on a young holding midfielder.
Yeah, all you can say is thanks, Chelsea. And we expect a lot better from Villa in Athens.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.